Stuck Mike back with you again, along with Paul Preindecker. Hi, Paul.
Mike, we had a nice story at the last segment, but as always, it's such a pleasure to have with us Dr. Earl Weiner from the NTSB. Thanks for coming with us again.
Dr. Weiner is a great friend of EAA Radio and is often visiting with us during AirVenture to talk about the things that the NTSB is focusing its resources on that are related to general aviation.
Dr. Weiner, we had a chance to visit with you last year at this very same venue. I had a chance to visit with you a few months ago at an industry conference, and here we are again at EAA. In the past year, I know there's been a lot of focus on loss of control. What has the NTSB done, and what are some of their recommendations to mitigate loss of control events?
Well, we're continuing to emphasize loss of control in terms of safety improvements. The loss of control issue has been on our most wanted list for the last couple of years now, and largely because when it comes to number of fatal accidents, it's responsible for almost half of the fatal accidents. What we have been working with very diligently is the rest of the industry. So the FAA has been involved, EAA has been very much involved with the Founders Innovation Prize that you, I'm sure, heard about last night.
Yes, we did. I was there. About 300 other people were there as well.
It was quite entertaining, and it was really gratifying to see the kind of intellectual property that was being developed for loss of control.
A lot of exciting thinking happening there.
Yeah. But it's been remarkably stable. So what we're really trying to focus on is how do we identify things in a process that leads up to loss of control that can be kind of disrupted, if you will, so that we end up with something other than a loss of control accident.
So what are some of those things?
Well, from the technology side, the Joint Steering Committee, General Aviation Joint Steering Committee, has focused on angle of attack indicators as a means to avoid the high angle of attack that leads to a stall spin accident. But they've also been successful in getting some changes in the aeronautical requirements. From the old days, the written, if you will. But by and large, the whole industry now has really kind of coordinated a focus on loss of control. So I'm hoping to see great things in the next couple of 3 years.
Last April, I think, when you and I were visiting, I know you had a lot to say about distractions, certainly in other modes of transportation, but especially in aviation. Can you comment on your thoughts about that and that contribution to loss of control?
Well, it's great that you bring that up, Paul, because that's part of our most wanted list. And it's 10 items that cover all of transportation, but in fact, 7 of those 10 items affect directly or indirectly aviation safety, distraction being a major one. Distraction, of course, is handled in the air carrier world by things like the sterile cockpit requirement.
Sure.
And we don't have a similar requirement for general aviation, which really makes it incumbent then on pilots to minimize distractions. You know, certainly encourage people to ask questions and understand what the flight is all about when somebody's going for a ride. But save those questions for the times when the workload's not high. So after climb out, for example, or after taxi in, it's a great time to answer those questions and get some enthusiasm in the flying public.
So I think what you're saying is that the general aviation pilot needs to understand what critical phases of flight are, just like the airline pilots have defined that.
Yeah, and in the automotive world, of course, we focus on no texting, and those kind of distractions with personal electronic devices. When it comes to general aviation, those personal electronic devices have improved safety a great deal when those devices have terrain databases on them, have good charting capability, approach plates, and so forth. But I've learned from my own personal experience, I've been using a couple of iPads now for about 3 or 4 years, and I've learned that you don't leave. I keep one iPad with the approach plates on it, and unfortunately, I have left it in the sun on the seat.
Sure.
And about the time you need it, it's overloaded, overheated, and shuts down. So that just is, the personal electronic devices are great, but you got to manage them so that you get what you need when you need it.
What's your view on, speaking either individually as a pilot or as the board about the density and the arrangement of information displays being maybe a contributor to the distractions?
Well, certainly, in the process of display development, the developer needs to take a close look at what information is really necessary and what information isn't necessary. Clutter on a display by putting stuff there that isn't really of use makes it much more difficult to use the rest of the display. I think there's a number of the displays that could stand a little pruning.
Yeah. Has there been research yet on this that the board either has conducted or is aware of?
There's a fair body of research available from the large transport manufacturers, Boeing and Airbus, for example, who have faced that very issue in terms of developing electronic displays as far back as late 70s, early 80s for the 767, 757 aircraft. A lot of discussion at that time went into what does the pilot actually need, and then how does a pilot get information that he wants to have? So the basic display had a minimal amount of information. The pilot was able to add information as he decided he needed it.
So it sounds like it's been worked out, whether it's been implemented. In what we see in experimental or GA, maybe that's the different question.
I think the information's there for use. There's, of course, a lot of rapid development going on in the electronics area for general aviation, and that's great. But there will, over time, be some sorting out.
Right. With all of the technology and initiatives, I think everybody needs to keep in mind that, you know, safety has to drive everything we do. And things like the Innovation Awards last night for safety and some of the developments that are going on there, it's really a tribute to, you know, the EA membership and what some of their ideas are. I'm looking forward to seeing that program continue and to see what comes out of that.
You know, Paul, one of the comments that was made last night was one of the entrants who said that who quoted an NTSB number, and I haven't fact checked this, but he said that 22% of loss of control incidents had some connection to a substance related cognitive limitation, and most often it was pilots taking Benadryl.
Well, Benadryl certainly is an issue. I think what he was referring to was a study that we did about 2 years ago of 2,300 fatally injured pilots, where CAMI, the Civil Aeromedical Labs, had had looked for the impairing substances or the metabolites. So that covered a 22-year period. And over the first part of that 22-year period, basically over-the-counter drugs that provided potentially impairing conditions were about 11%. But for the last part of that 22-year study, the last 4 years, that had advanced to 23%. And that's basically over-the-counter and prescription medications. So it's quite a bit bigger than what people often think of as the problem, illicit drugs. So he had the numbers close to right.
Mm-hmm.
Benadryl is a big problem.
Yeah.
The metabolism period is about 40 hours for a normal dose.
Dr. Wainer, we know you have an extremely busy schedule. Will you find time today to visit some exhibits and do some other things? And what's got your interest?
Well, it's been kind of one meeting to the next up to this point. This afternoon, though, I've got some free time. I'm going to wander around and just enjoy myself.
There's a lot to see.
There is a lot to see. A lot of really great development activity over the last year.
And, you know, one of the things that we're all celebrating is aeromedical reform. And when you were talking about the impact of these over-the-counter medications, I was thinking, well, surely this course that we're going to need to take periodically is going to be covering that, right?
Yes, that course is intended to cover that. The third-class medical reform really makes the responsibility now on the pilot's shoulders.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that was always most likely to happen in some kind of, I mean, the kind of information we're talking about a pilot having and then making use of might or might not be the thing that your doctor tells you when you're going in for your third, right, for your exam.
That's right. As Dr. Weiner said, the pilot needs to avail himself of a lot of information about this because it's everywhere. So.
And so now we'll be in a cadence where we're sort of given that information
sure.
on an updated basis. I'm excited about it. Of course, who here this week is not excited about that?
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Dr. Earl Weiner, member of the National Transportation Safety Board. Thank you, sir, again so much for coming in to talk with us, for sharing what's on yours and the board's mind with regard to GA. Thanks very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're listening to Squawk 1200 on EA Radio. Paul Preindecker is my cohort here. I'm Stuck Mike, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.